This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Resource Center on Enterprise, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. A few weeks ago, we interviewed Ravindran Navaratnam from TIE Global on the initiatives to guide researchers and technologists to commercialize their research and to become successful entrepreneurs. He also underscored the need to mentor technology startups and university research departments to help them grow to the next level. My guest today, somebody from the university, Dr. Yong Chee Fai from the Faculty of Electrical Engineering, University Technology in Malaysia, and Encik Askari Stevens, Managing Director and Founding Member of Intelligent Capital. He brings with him experience from both public and private equity investing in Malaysia. To start, is it fair to say that there's a lot of research being done at the university level, but little is being commercialized?
I would say yes. I mean, for the past 10 years, a lot of money has been spent on research, but I mean, less than 1% are actually really commercialized in the market.
I think that's certainly true. I think what the government has been trying to do is bridge the gap between university research and bring it to commercialization. I mean, there's an argument that, you know, a lot of pure research should be done at universities, right? And if it's got commercial value, it'll be done in the industry. So, I mean, but 1% sounds very low. I think it sounds
like you're also of two minds whether commercialization should be coming out of universities. I mean, traditionally, universities are places for the exploration of ideas for the sake of exploration.
I mean, I think there's a place for doing pure research.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I think you should also provide them a conduit to do some commercialization and research, you know, that reflects back into industry. What has been missing, in my view, is that there's this link between the marketplace and the research that they've been doing. And to be fair, they've been, you know, agency innovation. The ministry have also been trying to work to kind of close that gap in the way they award the grants for additional stuff. But, you know, that's a tricky process, right?
Is this also a kind of a reflection on the changing role of universities?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, for University Technology Malaysia, now we're actually changing to the entrepreneur side. In fact, if you look at our tagline, it's innovate, entrepreneur, and become global as well. Yeah.
Because what I found interesting was you had some students participate in a competition.
Yeah.
Even though they came in third place, you were very proud of them, and you made the comment that, you know, they were the only engineering students among all these business students.
The students are from engineering students. We have a very little knowledge on the business model. And when I asked them to join this business competition, it's really we want to learn what is the business all about. And when we join it, we actually push ourselves to another limit to learn what is business. And then we do the presentation slide. We meet a lot of people. Then that's how we learn. I mean, for the past 10 years, we try to do that ourselves without any competition, and we learn nothing. When there's this competition, it actually push us to another level, yeah.
Are entrepreneurial courses being taught at the university in conjunction with your engineering?
During my time, there is not so much. This time, I think there is some courses being offered, but it's still very, very beginning, at the very beginning stage. Yeah.
What roles do entrepreneurs play bringing projects to realization and commercialization? And what role does somebody like you and your organization, you're a venture capitalist?
Mm. Yeah, if you're going to invest in an industry, it's got to be driven by someone with an idea. I mean, a venture capitalist is a funder, and we can add value by, you know, helping them think through their plans, adding a layer of discipline. We can help them by giving them, you know, clients, access to market, not just money, right? I mean, if it's just money, you know, there's a role for that, but I think venture capitalists, actually, good venture capitalist does a lot more.
Yeah. More than just money.
Yeah, it brings, you know, knowledge, common sense, bit of discipline, mentoring, market
intelligence,
access, market intelligence. So I think that's the role of the venture capitalist, right? And to be very disciplined about the plans. I mean, not every plan is suitable for venture capital. I mean, a lot of the plans are not big enough. Venture capital actually requires the business to be quite big, because, you know, they're looking for a very, very big win. So they're taking quite big risks.
In the context of from lab to market, your organization, you come in as part of an organization, or you come in as yourself as the expert providing some?
Actually, in lab to market, you know, the startup funding, the real first round startup funding is kind of lacking in Malaysia. A lab to market is to try and kind of set up a process where these companies can produce plans which can be produced to people. Because a lot of the time, the guys in the university don't understand what financiers want, right? So the idea is to have a plan where you bring them in, talk them through their plans, make them understand what investors are looking for.
Educating the educator.
Educating them so that they can put together a plan that might feasibly get financed, you know, that a financier can understand and see. You know, startup funding is probably the hardest because it's a small amount of money. You need an ecosystem where there's continuing rounds of funding, right? It's almost like proof of concept. A lot of this stuff that we're doing at university is almost like proof of concept, which is why we work with Cradle as well. Cradle is another government agency which is set up to give very small grants to help with proof of concept. It's still early stages, right? So if you say venture capital, this is actually too early for venture capital. But we all just kind of build a pipeline for ourselves.
So at this point, where is your funding coming from for your projects? Are they all from the government?
At the moment, are from the government. And in fact, we do have a research grant. That money really can help us to do the prototype before we actually try to put to the industry to see that if they really want it and so on.
Yeah. So even though there is some startup money and or seed money all coming in from the government, but it's in the context of research, like you say, getting a proof of concept. But even at this stage, people like you who have all this knowledge about how to realize ideas and making them commercialized, you walk them through the process even before the idea.
No, I think part of TAI is to also help entrepreneurs. You know, I mean, A, we help ourselves by me. I help myself by meeting interesting young guys who might eventually have a good idea that I can invest in. Part of it is too, I just like to help young people, right? Give something back is part of that whole process.
At what stage does the university professor become the entrepreneur?
I think he's on the track now, right? I mean, I think the question is, when does he become a businessman? I think he's got to make sure he's comfortable enough that he's got an idea that's self-funding, right? And then go and raise enough money. And then, you know, that's a big decision for him down the track, that his idea is sustainable and has a real market traction. And then he can raise enough money to sustain and build a business.
Actually, I had a misconception that, you know, the university will do the research, come up with the ideas, and then somebody else takes the idea and runs with it and realize it, that's the businessman. But now it looks like you are educating the university professor, the guy with the intellectual idea and who's doing the research, and you are actually turning him into the entrepreneur.
That in the ideal world might work, but, you know, more often than not, the guy who's developed the concept or whatever is not a businessman.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's a different mindset. I mean, in this case, you know, it's a unique set of circumstances that, you know, Dr. Yong is a guy who actually wants to build a businessman, but he's actually also got the technical skill to build these ideas. More often than not, you know, your license, that's what HC Innovasi helps them to, is to, build the IP around it and then license or sell the intellectual property. I mean, a lot of people just like doing the research bit.
Yeah, I guess it really Dr. Yong is quite a different case altogether. Because there's also this danger that the people who are in the universities doing all the research, if they go into the commercial world, who is going to be our next generation of instructors?
I can tell you, it's very, very hard to succeed in business. Right? I mean, even in this round, I think we've looked, the second round of L2M, we looked at 60 companies, shortlisted 36, but only four got funded. And when I had a venture capital fund, I think of the 1,000 deals we looked at, we maybe invested in 10. And then out of the 10, maybe 4 successful. So you think about how tough it is, right? I don't think too many researchers are going to go and join the business world.
Well, we'll come back and hear his story. Asghari Stevens and Dr. Yong Chee Fai from the University of Technology Malaysia. And we've been discussing how the university organizations are being helped to realize their ideas and to get them commercialized. This is Resource Center on Enterprise, BFM 89.9, the business station. This is Resource Center. This afternoon, I'm talking about how universities are being coached, or at least some people within the universities are being coached, mentored to bring their research to market, to commercialize, monetize. I'm talking to Dr. Yong Chee Fai from University of Technology in Malaysia and Asghari Stevens, who is a venture capitalist. How entrepreneurial are you, Dr. Yong?
Can we measure that? Well, It all started when I do my research last time, and when I do research for the sake of research, I didn't think about commercialization and marketing. And after I meet a few series of entrepreneurs themselves, and I see there is a missing link, and we need to start looking at the market first, the need first, then we talk about research. So all my projects since then starting with a market need, then we do the research, and that's my station. And I have two products that I try to commercialize, and I managed to get a fund for that.
Even as an individual, his thinking has changed, hasn't it? Mm. Instead of doing pure research, suddenly he's thinking about
rate him pretty entrepreneurial.
Well, I think the university, like you mentioned earlier, that I think the university has to be balanced between the pure research as well as the commercialized product as well. Because if we constrain the pure research, sometimes the percentage is, sometimes we can't get so much from that. If we can commercialize some of it, I think that would be... Mm. They'll be better, they'll be good.
I think, you know, a comment I was going to make earlier actually is that I think around the world, universities and governments want the universities to be more self-funded. Universities like being self-funded because they have more control.
Mm-hmm.
Governments like them to be self-funded because they have to put up less money.
Yeah.
And that's why they're trying, you know, the big universities trying to, you know, improve that link between the university and corporations, you know, and government and companies to kind of get the subsidized research.
Yeah,
so it kind of works. I think, you know, if you get the right model, that will work quite well.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what happened to the university in Malaysia as well. We do need to self-fund our own university. So we try very hard to get revenue from the product that we can commercialize.
I mean, on the whole, even though we do quite a bit of research, we are not known as research universities. Malaysian universities are not known as research universities. Am I being fair?
Well, we have the research university status, and by doing that, we get a fixed amount of funding from the university, from the government to do some research. I would say high impact research. And
I guess it depends what you mean. I mean, the objective of the government has been to be much broader, right? Is the universities have been a place to educate a much broader part of the population to keep up with our economic growth. It hasn't been focused on, you know, earth-shattering research.
Mm-hmm.
Though in certain areas, I think we used to be world leaders, right? I think if you talk about rubber
mm-hmm.
technology, we're always considered number one. Oil palm technology, we are number one. So I guess, you know, where there is a link to industry has come forward and put in money, and we have gone on to become very, very good at it.
What are some of the obstacles for somebody like you working in a university becoming an entrepreneur?
There's a lot of obstacles. Well, as a academician, we do have our main role, which is to teach. At the same time as well, entrepreneurship in university is not clear. What can we do on this particular role? One simple example is as an educator, we cannot have our own company. We can't hold like more than 5% of a company, something like that. So that is not clear. But the university and the government want us to be entrepreneurship. So
there's a conflict there.
There's a conflict. I would say it's not so transparent at the moment, and the government and the university try very hard for us to be entrepreneur as well. But at the same time, things are not very clear at that stage. So this is some of the minor obstacles that we are facing right now.
Well, I didn't realize that. That's a point you should bring up with Thai, actually. I mean, we can help you with that.
Okay.
We should talk to the ministry about that.
For professors to think entrepreneurially, they must have the recourse to become entrepreneurs.
I think the university tries to capture some of the value too, right? I mean, they've usually got an agency in the university where, you know, the university, like in university science, they've got a body that tries to take the research and there's a little bit for the researcher, and there's a nice chunk for the university. So the university is trying to claw back some of those gains too.
Every time a researcher brings in money to the university, it's a plus. It's a big bonus.
Yeah.
You know? How do these kinds of learnings that you have acquired trickle down to the students?
I ask them to join competition. I, in fact, ask them to do pitching as well. And in fact, if there is any talk by the CRADA, by Thai, and so on, I will ask them to join in because I say it's very important. And they do have a project normally for their final project, and I always ask them to do project that related to what the market need. So now I have four different final projects, and they are all do industrial projects.
Will universities one day be so innovative that they are self-funded in all their research projects, or a major part of it?
I doubt it, because you know the universities need government funding, you know, to do striking research, because I mean, research in itself means that sometimes you fail, sometimes you succeed, right? And industry also wants something that's probably a little bit more immediate. I mean, you'll have a portfolio of products that you want, you know, if you're a big company, right? You'll say a drug company, you'll have things that are in production, things that are very close, things that are startup. You might have a portfolio, mm-hmm. but in general, you want something closer to market, right? Which you can monetize quickly. So can they be completely funded?
No.
I think unlikely.
So the government has a role to play and will continue.
Definitely has a role to play.
What research of yours have been commercialized to date?
Okay. There are two products. The first one is the automated guided vehicle. So this is a robot that actually can move on its own. So in manufacturing company, there's a lot of operator pushing the cart around. So what we do is we can replace them by using this robot. And the good thing is with this robot, the company can reduce costs as well as to increase efficiency. So that's the AGV, we call it. The other one is a robot for rehabilitation. So what this robot does is they help the stroke patient to do rehabilitation. Conventionally, what we do is we use a physiotherapist, and this patient normally have to go to the center or hospital to conduct 1 hour rehabilitation. This is consuming, tiring, and maybe not cost effective. So what we did was we developed a compact robot rehabilitation where they can actually bring back home to do the training. And the whole system has a virtual reality game and has an intelligent system to monitor the performance as well. Yeah.
When you said it's commercialized, tell me, can I go walk into a shop to buy one of those things now or what?
I would say two products at a different stage now. The first one, the AGV, is already in the market already. In fact, company come to us. We go and see their company. We give them a solution and we customize the robot for them. So the delivery is about 1 to 3 months depending on the complexity. The other one, still at the pre-commercialization stage, we now discussion with a few hospital to do a clinical trial, and we also going to conduct some certification, because medical device, we do need some kind of a certificate before we can actually use for the market. Yeah.
At what stage of this commercialization did people like from the TIE come in to play a role in it?
Before TAI come in, I thought business is straightforward. For example, I have a product I just sell. So after I attended a few series of the workshop that they gave us, it's not that straightforward. We do need to have a very good business proposal. We do need to have a very good company structure. We do need to have marketing and so on. So then I started to talk to a lot of people, because initially my team was only 3 people. Now I actually joint venture with another company, and this company can do a lot of marketing, and we can access to their database client. So this is a great advantage.
And that collaboration came about because of TI?
Also because of the outcome of the workshop that I attended.
Mm. Networking.
Networking, yeah.
We've tried to promote these companies. But the thing is, you know, to be realistic too, you know, I mean, these companies, if you want to attract third-party institutional funding, like venture capital funding, it's got to be a pretty big idea. In fact, of the companies I saw, I thought there were a lot of really good ideas. But the thing is, they weren't really big ideas, you know. And for a venture capitalist, you know, if he spends time to do a $1 million investment that gives him $5 million, it's the same amount of time to put in $10 million and make $60 million, right? So if you've got the money, you'd prefer to put in $10 million and make $60 million. So some of the ideas are small. But I think, I mean, listening to his ideas, I think the compact stroke
robot, yeah.
I think that's a great idea. It has it's a global product, potentially. There's a need. A lot of it will have to do with marketing, because you'll have to work with the insurance companies to make sure that they pay for it, because a lot of people won't pay for that out of their own pocket, but insurance companies will pay for it, right?
Yeah.
Because it'll reduce their cost. So I think that's a product which has got really global reach. That would, I think, probably get venture capital funding. The robotic company, that one, you know, because it's customized, it's not so scalable. It's a much tougher business. It'd probably be more like someone to put in money and help him develop a business from it, and probably end up doing a trade sale if you want to exit. But it's more like a, you know, nice steady Eddie business. It's more like a service company to me. I mean, that's giving him my 5 cents worth.
What you say is true. I mean, for the robot rehabilitation, I still remember when we do a study in our university, we broadcast it. And there's one patient all the way from KL drive to Johor Bahru just to try the robot. She tried it, she really liked it, and she asked, hey, actually, can I bring back home already? So that is the importance of this robot.
How much would that retail at?
Well, we try to set a price between 10,000 to 20,000.
Wow.
Ringgit.
Ringgit.
Wow. Not expensive?
Not expensive. You think about it. If you set this up, you got a stroke center, you go to Kiwanis, you get five, six guys donate the money. Mm. The stroke patients come every day, they sit there, and instead of one guy manipulating it randomly, right?
Yeah.
Or getting a specialist, you've got this machine that's programmed, does the rehab for them. I mean, easily sellable.
Yeah. Mm. We spoke to a few hospitals.
You'll sell it globally.
Yeah. We spoke to a few hospitals and rehab centers, and they do like the idea. In fact, they propose we can have actual room with like a lot of a robot. It's like a gym for the patient. So that's the idea, yeah.
Well, all the best. Dr. Yong Chi Fai from University of Technology Malaysia and Asghari Stevens from TIE and also a venture capitalist from Intelligent Capital. This is Resource Center on BFM 89.9 and I'm Lim Soon Heng.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.